I see you put the intro back up there for a little bit there, Joe. Back up
there. I just didn't use it last time. So I was hoping to have to do it.
I like that intro. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, we're working on them.
Spooky.
Yeah, he wants to put another one up or get another one made up for us. So anyway, haven't talked to you in a while. How you guys been doing?
We have been extremely busy. We've had an amazing year. I think we talked at the beginning of the year, right? If I remember correctly.
It was the past show. You are right.
Okay. Yep.
But I can't. Yeah.
So, we've had a tremendous 2022, and we've been just very busy. We've added several new locations.
Cool.
And so some of the big things to note, I guess, the big thing was we did have a charity event that was actually held in Tennessee this year. And we partnered with Paranormal Events and Adventures, and they actually assisted us and put on a charity event with us up in Tennessee at the Octagon Hall.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
That went extremely well. We were able to donate to Base Camp out of Orlando. That's a children's foundation here in Orlando. And then we were also able to donate to a local family up in Tennessee. So, because we typically try to donate to a family every year in September locally. So normally we would have done one here in Florida. However, we had some pretty serious family problems, I guess, or, you know, basically it was an illness in the family that prevented us from doing that here in Florida this year. But we did do a really good one in Tennessee. So that was a big one. Chris and I also hand delivered 5 Thanksgiving meals the day before Thanksgiving. So that was our 3rd annual turkey giveaway. And that went extremely well. So we give back locally. On Giving Tuesday, which was the day after Cyber Monday, we gave a check to Base Camp again out of Orlando. That's the Children's Foundation. Mm-hmm. And we also donated to a cause called Metropolitan Ministries here. So, and this year we also donated to her name is Tina Fleur. And unfortunately, her husband passed away from cancer this year. She's a widow. And he she is extremely involved in the paranormal. So we supported her through that time. So there's my dogs because Chris is home. but long story short, we've done a lot of giving but we've also done a lot of growing, and we've had some amazing events this year. We've added some amazing locations to our repertoire to continue to provide these events for the community. And one of the big, sorry, that's my husky Sky. She gets really excited.
Joe's got a husky.
My husky's awesome. She's crazy. And, but she doesn't make any noise unless Chris comes home and then she starts howling.
Yep. I got a purebred Siberian husky, and
we have a Siberian. Go ahead.
When my wife pulls in the driveway, she hears that car before it pulls in the driveway, and she starts howling and going nuts. You know.
Oh, nice. And
that food, she starts arguing with her about giving her some. I love huskies. I've raised them all my life.
Yeah, Sky's a great dog. She's very. She's very obedient, but she howls and Chris hates it. You'll hear him like complain at her. He's always like, "Don't howl." I'm like, "That's what she does." So one of the big things that happened this year was Chris and I were actually cast in a horror film, and the director is Scott Temperman from Ghost Hunters International. And this is his 9th independent film. We filmed it here locally at the Ritchie Suncoast Theater here in Newport Ritchie. We're officially on IMBD, both Chris and I. I played Detective Renko. Chris played EMT LaRue. And the world premiere is on January 21st of 2023. So that was really cool. It also put one of the locations, you know, on the map as far as being in a horror movie. So that was a lot of fun to experience. There he is. That's his work outfit. I'm trying to we were also on ABC Action News this year, which is the big news station. They did a Halloween special on us.
Cool.
And that was very last minute. They kind of called us at the last minute, and I had to work, and Chris happened to be off. So Chris went to the Hacienda, which is down here in Newport Ritchie. We have a partnership with them. We do our events there as well. And it's a beautiful renovated hotel. It was actually named the number one most haunted hotel in Florida from Thrillist. And Chris did a whole Halloween special for the ABC Action News for Halloween. And they played us like 4 or 5 times. So wow. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. That was great. So yeah, it's been a busy year, and we've got an even busier next year coming up. We've sold out of, we sell out of everything very quickly now, and it's causing, I'm trying to figure out the best way to like alleviate it. But when I put up the tickets for that Hacienda event that I was telling you, that I was just explaining the hotel,
right.
It's sold out in two hours and 30 minutes.
Wow.
How many tickets do you sell at that time?
That one is maxes out at 24.
Okay.
So I sold 24 tickets in 2 hours and 30 minutes.
That's not bad. That's pretty
good. That was on a Friday, so it's not like, you know what I mean? So it's been doing well. Hi, babe. He got out of his work outfit. Do you want to... Honey, do you want to talk for a second?
I'm talking. I don't know what I'm doing. I can't see nothing.
That's them right there. Do you have your face?
Oh, I see them. Okay. Hey, how you doing?
Doing good.
Good, good. Sorry I was late.
No problem, man.
He's late.
I know how it is.
Yep.
Yeah, then around late June, I got promoted to management of my facility. So now I get to come in early and I get to stay late.
Awesome. I know. It's like, okay, you get promoted, but now you got to live there.
Pretty much.
And more first to be there, first to leave. Or last to leave.
Yeah.
Yep. What was that, Joe?
I said more responsibility, more headaches, you know. And less pay.
Yep.
Because it just doesn't work out for the hours you put in.
Nope. I went from hourly wage to salary.
How many, you know, you probably go through bottles and bottles of Tums just because.
Nah.
Anyway.
I don't let it bother me.
Well, but you still got time to do this, so that's a positive.
Yeah, I try to make sure I make time. That's about the way to do it.
Yeah. You always make time for the fun things, right?
We try to.
Obviously, yes.
Try to.
So, Alex was telling us you guys have been pretty damn busy lately.
Non-stop.
That's good.
She said about the Hacienda, and then, but what she didn't say is we set up a second date, and with one phone call, we sold every ticket. So we didn't even get a chance to post it.
Wow.
So now we got to set up another one for the public, because this was a group that bought all the tickets from us to do the event. Which is a positive. There's nothing wrong with it.
No, nothing wrong at all.
We were like, all of a sudden we get a phone call. They're like, yeah, we want to buy every ticket to the event. Oh, okay. So that sold out quicker than the first one.
Wow. Yeah, that's...
So, but a lot of people have been waiting for the Hacienda to open, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been closed for a while. A lot of people have been trying to remodel it, refinish it. Now it's done, and it's beautiful. It's brought back to what it used to look like, and it's very active. It's about, we got activity in every room, didn't we, hon?
Yeah, well, in every room we were allowed in.
In every room they allowed us in, yes.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of the reconstruction and stuff, and that probably disturbed a few of the spirits that are there, or some of the energies.
During the whole thing.
Renovation.
During the renovation, yeah. So, and they tried to keep everything to how it used to be, which was awesome. So.
That is cool whenever... places can do that, whenever ownerships can actually come into a place and when they renovate it, keep it more towards the original than putting the new fancy stuff in.
Exactly. And with it being a historical landmark, they have to also follow protocol too for that as well.
Exactly. Yeah. I know a few places that I wish they would have declared them landmarks because we lost them here in Madison.
Well, a lot of locations are just getting knocked down for housing and new developments, and it's like, mm-hmm. What about? So that's a lot. What we do is we give back to the locations to try to keep them going as well as helping the kids. So,
yeah, that's a good thing to do. You know, you can forge alliances and stuff like that with people, with the different companies.
Yeah,
that works out pretty good that way.
Yeah, there's a lot of places that should have been saved around here. That's for sure.
Definitely.
You know, and it's sad when they get destroyed and they're gone and all that history is gone with it.
Yeah.
No. Exactly. And then now you have to be on the land and it's lost. It's sitting there and just waiting to be, you know, reopened again.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or they build a strip mall, and then the strip mall stays empty because they can't lease it because they want too much money for the property. You know?
Exactly.
You know, yeah. And it's like, why not just renovate the current strip mall that's across the street that's already been empty? You know, well, instead of building another one.
A lot of these old strip malls, they're just all sitting and sitting and sitting, but yet all of a sudden they want to hit these buildings that have been there forever, that's got history. It's like, right. Oh, mm-hmm. Just level that one.
Yep.
There was an awesome hotel by Jasper Jail that we deal with, and, you know, I was looking to see about buying it, and then all of a sudden she messaged me and says someone just bought it, and the next day it was the first hotel ever and the only hotel that they ever had there. It had history, it had a lot of stuff, beautiful building and around, and she called me, or I called her about putting in the bid for it. She goes, oh, they lowered it in price, you might want to do it. So I go to call the next day, someone purchased it, and the next day she sent me photos of them. He leveled it with a crane down. He said it's been an eyesore county forever. Now that he purchased it, he goes, we don't need it. It's an empty lot now. And I got a chance to go in it before they knocked it down. And it was beautiful inside, partially started to get remodeled. It had Jack and Jill bathrooms. This place is beautiful. Old grand piano. Nope. It's in the garbage pile now somewhere.
That is sad and sickening. It just, well, Joe and I ran across a place down over in Watertown where he lives at, Lion's Pub. They were going to actually tear it down, but a couple came in and they bought it for, what was it, Joe, a dollar or something like that?
Something like that.
Yeah, they bought the building for like a dollar. This thing was put up in the 1800s, and there's actual historical pictures of it. It was I think a livery stable or something like that.
Huh.
And then it's three floors, and on the third floor they have this grand ballroom up there
that
they used to have. You know, they used to have all these different events and stuff in there. Well, this couple bought it. They remodeled the bottom part where the bar is, so that, you know, is still good and everything. And they were working on the second floor when we were there. They were working on the second floor, doing some of the stuff there. And on the third floor, they were still, it was still, you know, could walk around without any issues and stuff, but there was still a lot of work to be done up there.
Right. Well, but the good thing is that when they get a building at that kind of price, there's always a catch to it as far as it is a historical landmark, and as long as they follow protocol, then they can keep it going at mm-hmm. that. There's still a lot of money that's got to be invested in them places. People think, oh, a dollar. No.
Well, they've invested quite a bit over the years.
I think he said that they've invested a little over $1 million in it already.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. And
one of those floors was a meeting place, so for one of those secretive.
Oh groups. Yeah, it was a Schrader's. No, not Schrader's. Mason. It was a Mason Hall.
Yeah, because it didn't have the logo still painted on the floor.
Yes.
Oh, that
they had the logo and everything still on the floor and all that. But it was a Mason's Hall up there where the ballroom was.
Yeah, here downtown Newport Richey, we have a building too that has an original, was an original meeting place for the Freemasons too, which is awesome. And when we went there, we actually had, we own a Knights of the Templar original sword. And when we brought it, the activity went crazy. But the funny thing was it was female responses. However, there was no females allowed in them halls. It was all men. So it's really weird.
So we have to go back and investigate some more to figure out.
Did you do any research of the property itself or the building itself?
Yeah, it used to be. The building, library. The building itself used to be, it was called the Avery Library. And then the Avery Library was moved. And the whole time, the bottom was just shops. And then upstairs was the Mason Hall. But the shops downstairs was the library. And then there was a hardware store next to it. But they always did. And according to what we found, is that George Washington was there and a few others stayed, that they had meetings upstairs there, and you can see the dome with how it used to be. It was cool. Now since then they've painted it, it's kind of changed hands. It's still there, but they've kind of renovated a little more, but it's just cool to be able to be there, you know what I mean?
Definitely. I love the way that a lot of these properties, these old properties, have that history to them.
Yeah.
So, but when I find places or we find places that we go to, I like whenever we can do the research and actually look into the land itself and the building, because sometimes the land has connection as well.
Exactly.
Not just the building itself.
What a lot of people in the paranormal field, and I just say this is my personal opinion. They don't realize that without the history, you can't do what we do.
Someone
says it's haunted. You need to know the history so then you can put the pieces of the puzzle together while you're investigating.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, exactly. A lot of them are like, oh, they just said it's haunted. We're going to go in. This is what we found. Instead of, okay, let's try to contact so-and-so and so-and-so that this is real history of to what did happen on this property or in this location.
Yeah, you try to get to the truth as much as possible.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, you know, stories a little fetched or stretched over time, you know, the older the story, the more it gets blown out of proportion. So you got to get to the core of the original story, where it started and how it starts. That's the fun part, you know.
Well, exactly. And then to realize, hey, okay, now you're getting responses, or you're getting a Jim or a John, and then you kind of know who that Jim or John is, instead of, oh, I think they said someone in the family that owned this, you know, his grandmother was George or whatever. And it's like, how about we just get facts?
Well, yeah, I mean, that is one of the things that we try to do when we go out is we will look into the history itself. Like the one I was telling you about, that Lion's Pub there in Watertown.
Right.
I have a photograph of a photograph that I took with my phone, because the gentleman
photograph.
Yes. And it's true. But the gentleman that owns it and that talked with us and let us come in and everything, he has a binder. It's like about yay thick, I think it was.
Yeah, it was pretty full of pictures.
There's a lot of pictures and information in there. Plus, he's got stuff on the wall. And he pulled out these different photos that he got from the Historical Society, and he laid them across the bar. And Joe and his wife was looking at them, and the guy literally told me he did not notice this. But as soon as I looked at it, I actually noticed something that was a little off. Because when you look at the photograph, in the foreground, there's two dogs that look like there's two dogs standing there. And then you've got the horses and carriages with all the men and everything across the backside over where the bar, the side of the building is. But the dogs, the dogs is where your attention to go to, because one of them, you can see the curb line through the dog, and the other one looks like it's transparent.
Huh.
And this is a photograph that is from the 1800s.
Dang.
That you got from the Historical Society. Now, I don't know if it was something with the film that they were using or the camera.
Right.
But it looked, it that right there, that particular thing drew my interest right to it. And it was,
right.
And nobody else noticed it. It's kind of for funny. Sure.
But that's like down here where we're at in downtown Newport Richey, a lot of the history went up in flames. So it's, we got a historical society that, yeah, literally, Alex said, that just caught on fire and it's gone. So now it's putting the pieces together, the real history with the elders and the people that have lived here their whole life, you know, what grandpa and grandma's stories they got, and trying to piece it together and try to, you know, figure out exact dates and everything else. Because a lot of the fires, most of the places were built with wood, and they're just gone, incinerated.
Yep.
And, yep. You know, it's just hard. It's just hard when you don't have all the history to then try to do it. But when you go to a place and you know the place is active, you want to know the story. So,
yeah, it's nice to know the backstory on a lot of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then, you know, some of it's pretty popular. You don't have to do a lot of research. You know,
true.
I mean, you mentioned a place that you know, like you get to go to these places, and this is what I also like about paranormal investigations. You get to go to some of these locations, and you just feel honored to be there. You know,
exactly. You to be able to step foot in the there. Place,
and. I felt like that once, and it was a really great honor to actually venture out, and we got the invitation. We went to Iowa, and we went to the Buddy Holly crash site.
Oh, okay, cool.
You know, where the day the music died, and right. It was very surreal just to be out there, you know. And, yeah, that was an interesting place, though. There is some activity going on there. And like Mark said, that's pretty much all the land, because
right,
of where
right.
they crashed in that cornfield.
Yeah. But no, I mean, it's just to be able to step foot or be near these locations is, you know, it's an honor to be able to do it, you know, and then try to communicate is a whole different story in itself. But knowing the location and knowing the history definitely helps and helps you validate what your findings are.
True.
And that's key to moving the field forward, in my opinion.
Yeah. Especially if you know the history and if you're a little cautious when you go in to not mention the history outright or anything. And then you get your responses when you get your responses on your EVPs or like if you're using any kind of a spirit box or anything like that, and you get responses that match up with the history without you even saying anything about the history or mention of
it. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Then that kind of, to me, is a clarification that everything is actually happening there, real, you know. It gives you a surreal aspect to it.
Right, and it's also let you know, you've been doing this for a reason, you know, you're getting responses, you're now getting answers, so it's validating the whole reason for you doing what you're doing.
Yeah, you're not sitting in a cemetery talking to yourself.
True.
That was just something that was said by somebody once.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and even cemeteries, I love cemeteries, but the problem is, if you're getting, if you're getting a response of a Jim or a John, how many of them are on that property?
Exactly. So
it's to go ahead and get them details to then kind of lead you to which Jim or John it is.
Right. You know? Yep.
It's not just, oh, I talked to John. Okay, well, what John? We just walked by 20 John's graves. You know, it's like.
Right.
You know, and is it even a person that's buried here? Or is it someone attached to the land way before?
Right.
So.
Right. All this, you know, a lot of this was Native American land at one time.
Right.
Before. Well, actually before the English came over, it was Native American land, the entire area. And so there's a lot of sacred land here in the United States that once did belong to the Native Americans.
Right.
I'm thinking that's another reason we have some of these places like Skinwalker Ranch and down here by us, Bray Road.
Right.
You know, Bray Road is our former Skinwalker Ranch because of all the stuff that does go on there.
Oh, wow. There is so much that goes on there.
Yep. So much that goes on there. And it's just, you know, key to it all is getting validation and then just trying to learn and understand what's going on there and then scientifically try to prove what it is. And if we can't scientifically prove it, then obviously it's not normal, so therefore it's paranormal to some extent, you know.
The way it's unexplained.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, and you know, as long as it's unexplained, we're going to seek out the answers. It's part of the paranormal field and what we do.
Right.
Yeah, it's a fun part trying to find the answers, but then you get the other part where you get chased off the land when you're not done yet, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not your fault. I mean, you ain't got a choice. It's not like you get scared. You gotta pack up your equipment because it's gonna get damaged or something.
Exactly. You
know? And yeah.
That's key to the good communication with the people that own the property or the buildings and to be able to come and spend time there. You can't get all the answers in just one or two investigations. You need to spend some time there.
Yeah. So do you guys, whenever you do your investigations, is it mostly in the buildings and stuff? Or do you actually go to, like, cemeteries are areas of open land.
It's mainly buildings. We just, I don't know if you've looked at the website, but we just finally nailed down the SS Victory in downtown Tampa. So now we got a ship, a real Navy ship, World War II vessel that we're going to be able to go on and investigate finally. They've had little groups here and there go, but they've never had a real an event, so to speak, with a bunch of people. It's been all smaller groups, but there's all kinds of stories, people that are on the ship all the time, the caretakers of the ship, you know, they're there alone. They hear voices, they hear people, you know, or spirits pounding on the doors. They hear all kinds of stuff. So it's going to be really awesome to be able to do that.
I think it would be great to be able to actually get the opportunity to go into one of the old naval ships like that, one of the decommissioned ones.
Exactly.
Especially one of them that was, there's a particular one I'd love to be able to go on. But I don't know if they even have it to where you can, and that would be the Missouri. Battleship Missouri that was in World War II in Pearl Harbor. It was stationed.
Exactly.
And I know the story of this because my uncle was a 17-year-old kid who enlisted in the Navy, and he was asleep in his bunk on the Missouri whenever the munitions bunker got hit and exploded in the Arizona that sunk the Arizona right next to it.
Oh man.
He said when that thing exploded, it rocked everybody out of their bunk.
Oh yeah, I can imagine. And at this moment, I can imagine the energy of all the, you know, the people that have passed, the people that have been there, just the people that had to go through that. To just be able to try to communicate with them would be crazy awesome.
Oh yeah, no, I agree. It would be awesome to be able to communicate with them. It was great to sit with my uncle and actually listen to some of the stories that he'd tell.
But that's key, is getting the stories from the people that have been there. You know, it's not let's just Google it and see what we find, because a lot of the stuff is just, you know, I don't believe everything on the internet. And if you do, you got a problem.
Yeah.
You know,
unfortunately, he passed away before I really got really involved in this kind of stuff. Otherwise, I would have actually took a recorder and I would have sat down with him and recorded a bunch of his stories.
Right. Yeah, but at least you had them talks and you have the memories, which is really
good of him.
And now to be able to use them possibly in the future, you know what I mean? It's key. I mean, we learn every day from everybody. And if you think you've already know it all, then it's time to find another hobby, because there's no way in heck.
It doesn't matter who you are and how much you've learned. You'll never know everything, because there's so much to learn
exactly.
in this world. And it's just...
You should learn something new every day.
Yeah, I agree. And in this field, it's just constant. It's constant. Oh, I've been doing this, but oh, so-and-so does it like this. And man, I can do it better now. You know, it's not... And I say this all the time. I probably said it last time we were on with you guys. But it's not who you can step on to get to where you want to go. It's who can you bring with you. So the whole field can move forward.
You learn
from each other, and that's what happens. You know,
and that's the kind of society that we should be.
Exactly.
Learning from each other and understanding how things work for each of us.
Exactly.
So I can go out and do an investigation and do something a certain way, and it might work for me. But Joe, if he tries it the same way, it may not work for him.
Exactly.
He might have a different method.
Right. And no matter where your location is or what you're doing at that time, for instance, maybe you don't want to talk to females. You kick the females out, you talk to the males. You might get better responses. So you have to use everything.
Yep,
I've heard of that happening.
you have to use everything in your arsenal, and it continues to build and build and just continue to add to the list.
Well, everything right now, because nothing's been proven scientifically on a lot of this, it's theories. That means there's no right or wrong answer. You know, you take, you test something and see if it works. You know. Because it's all you can do right now, because things are just theories. Yeah. So it makes nobody wrong. Nobody's right yet. Nobody can be an expert. You know, really. Technically.
I'll give it to you. So. Exactly. So. But I mean, as far as, you know, learning, you know, you learn from everyone that you're with and you come in contact with. Like Alex, what's your outlook on that?
What, I don't know, because I just stepped in.
Your outlook on learning from other people, that you don't always know what you don't know what's best. You always learn from people.
Oh yeah, especially in this field. You know, the paranormal industry has such an amazing ability to allow others to learn constantly. Because first of all, if we're being honest about the field, it's all subjective. I mean, we can all, you know, we can say all of our opinions all the time about everything, but ultimately, you know, we're dealing with something that we want to prove desperately, but it's really hard to prove something that, you know, that is subjective. We're dealing with energy. We're dealing with all different types of forms of, you know, investigations, right? So, I mean, I just feel like every time you go to investigate and you're around other people you don't know, you have the opportunity to learn. And it makes it so much fun.
Absolutely.
And I think people who are short-sighted and who want to do it their way, and, you know, I come to the paranormal a little differently, because I have 16 years in marketing. I have I have 3 degrees in marketing and 1 in psychology. And so when I come into this field, I'm looking at it from a totally different perspective. I'm looking at it from a business mindset a little bit. And I've noticed that there's a lot of people in this industry that either want to do it to get famous, they want to do it for likes, they are stubborn and only want to do it a certain way. And they actually put down people who have other opinions or other thoughts. I've seen it with my own eyes.
Yeah,
and I don't understand, because the opportunity we have, we are our own worst enemies.
Oh yeah,
because the opportunity that the paranormal field has to grow is in all of our hands.
Yep.
But when you're stepping on everybody else, you know, the rising tide brings all ships up. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So, and that's what I think people miss. Is that, you know, truly, and it's not just para-unity, because that's a marketing term, right? That's somebody kind of coined that and wanted it to stick.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, and again, I look at this a little differently, right? Because that's my business. So para-unity sounds good, but you've got to walk the talk, and you've got to talk the talk and walk the walk, right?
Exactly.
So, you know, my hope is that, you know, we can find a way to promote our industry and to learn from each other, but in a healthy way. And in a way that brings all the ships up and brings that tide right up, and also allows us to learn, you know, learn from you. I mean, I've learned so much from Chris. I learn from you guys every time I'm on. Right. So, but there's a lot of people who are opposed to that. So that's okay. That's okay.
We've learned.
No, that's the way. That's the way
How many times we had? Every time we have Dale Kazmarek on, we learn something.
Oh God, yes. Now that's a gentleman that
1974.
Yeah, Dale is a gentleman that everybody in the paranormal community should actually befriend and talk to, because he's been doing this stuff back in the '70s. He started in the '70s with this, when it wasn't a popular thing, and he's been going strong ever since, and he's full of knowledge.
Research, what was it?
And every now and then, I like to pick his brain.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and those are the people that, and you know what's sad? A lot of people would look at his age and go, oh, well, what does he know? Or, you know, or he's not using the new equipment.
He knows
and, you
a
know,
lot
and
more.
The sad thing is that he probably knows more than all.
That's how they used to do it.
Yeah. So
to us, he's like a mentor.
Yeah,
you know?
That's awesome. I mean, yeah. And what a blessing that we have him in the community, and he can, in the paranormal
community.
He'll call
me up on the phone. Know? He'll call me up on the phone just to tell me something or invite us somewhere. Say,
yeah, guys, definitely.
We can go here. I got this all set up, and I got room for you guys if you want to come along. Yeah.
I'm waiting until next summer because I think he's going to go back over to Tennessee. Where is it, Joe? The battlefields.
Gettysburg.
Yeah, Gettysburg. He's been to Gettysburg several times, and he's actually caught some interesting stuff out there.
Yeah, and he invited us once, and it wasn't on our schedule that one.
Yeah, it was. We couldn't get it all set together on that. I think that would be a very fun, adventurous time to go out to.
Yeah, also invited us to Joliet Prison, but we didn't have the chance or the time that weekend either. It was like a last minute invite.
That's cool.
Yeah, we don't live too far from him. I know where the guy's from. He's down in a certain part of Illinois I've been to before. So. And so it's not too far away for us to get together. He's the one that took us out to the day the music died in our school in Iowa. He invited us on that trip.
That would be awesome. I would love to do that.
Yeah.
But he never warned me about the prior school.
Yeah, those are the kind of people, though, in this field that instead of looking past them and going, oh, they're old, they're doing all, you know what? We could learn a lot from them because that's where it started.
I mean, that guy's so knowledgeable that he's sitting there filming in Farrar School and he's telling you the history of this place without having to read anything. It's like he knows it.
Right. No, exactly. And that's where we can all learn, you know, and it's just for the field to move forward, we got to all work together and we got to help one another. And it's not, hey, this is more important or this piece of equipment that I built because I added an extra light on it means that I'm up here and you're down here. You know, it's like, no, we work together and move forward. It's the only way to do it.
I think so far, just about everybody we've met has been like that in this field. You know?
Right.
When we first went out, we didn't really know what we were doing much, but we knew where we wanted to go, you know, because we were started in our state. So we went to check out the Witches of Whitewater, wasn't it?
Whitewater, Wisconsin. There's three cemeteries there, and they have history. There's stories behind them.
So while we were out there, we saw, what was that team we saw? You remember?
I remember meeting with them, but I don't remember what their
name was. We had them on the show once, too, after that.
I know.
But anyway, we
was
met
it
this
something like Midwest Paranormal or something like that?
Yeah, U.S. Paranormal. And they had a lot of their own homemade equipment, and they had special... they had like a local government type person with them from the Chamber of Congress. The president of the Chamber of Congress was with them because they were filming a documentary for the town on this.
Okay.
And they sat there and took the time out to talk to us and stuff like this and was giving us some tips and pointers. And yeah, we were really, you know, they were very friendly. And very outgoing and answering questions and, you know, like we weren't disturbing them or anything like that. It's just like, you know, so we've run into things like that pretty often, you know, where they just want to.
Right. And that's awesome. That's how it should be.
Have you gone here yet?
Yes.
might want to go check this out first, you know.
Right, right.
I will say this without naming any names. There is one group that we came across that I thought were extremely arrogant.
I can
just and they're one that I kind of would like to avoid coming across again.
I think the arrogance is it, what?
Jealous?
Well, no, the arrogance is a problem because there's no how can anyone be arrogant? Because we don't, nobody is successful enough. Unless you're, you know what I mean? So it's like there's no such thing as success in this field. We're all just learning together, you know?
I think they get that big enough following and that little bit of fame, you know, local fame, local type fame or whatever, because they go out to their local mall and they're recognized or something like that, and it goes to their head too much and they get a little full of themselves.
They get a little full of themselves, right? Yeah.
You know, I'm pretty sure I know who Mark's talking to. We'll wait till we're off air and I'll ask him.
Well, you know, I mean, the one thing is like, you know, Chris and I aren't into this whole paradrama stuff. That's too much for us. You know, we're, you know, like I said, when everyone else was enjoying their Thanksgiving dinner, Chris and I were delivering dinners to our community.
I think that's,
that is really cool.
I think what
and
you
that's,
guys
not, that's not me trying to say that we're like, you know, but that's something that Chris and I like to do. And we've done it for 3 years in a row and it makes us feel good, you know?
I think what you guys do is just totally, you know, awesome. I mean, it's just, you know, especially the thing cancer, that thing is really close to me because I had and survived, you know.
Well, yes.
I'm supposed to be dead right now. I wasn't supposed to survive this long.
That's amazing.
According to the doctor.
Cancer is a terrible thing.
Yes, you know, it is.
And especially, and I'm not taking anything away, but when it affects children.
Oh, yeah, it's even worse.
It impacts the whole family.
Well, not just that. They lose their childhood.
Right.
People don't understand that. I mean, these kids can't go out and swim in a pool. They can't go out and have a normal childhood and play in the sandbox and play at the park or play with their friends.
Yeah, they have to have their own sandbox. They have to have their own space.
When they're battling that,
they don't understand what's going on. Yeah, it's...
Right, and when they're battling that cancer and they're taking that chemo or that,
and their immune system's compromised, they can't go
outside.
They
kill their immune
system. Have friends.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
they
tough.
Can't eat certain things.
Yes, it's very.
And, you know, it's just, and that's where it's like, I think that's where it's important that, you know, because trust me, there are times where I can be like, okay, I've got to focus on getting another location or putting on another event or selling tickets, right? Because that's the business part of what we do. But I always come back to the human part of what we do. And that's what drives everything. And, you know, there are people who are naysayers and haters and all types of stuff who are out there, sadly. But you know what? I mean, we have a tremendous relationship with Base Camp out of Orlando. She was thrilled that we handed her a check on Giving Tuesday. Trust me, you know, that's not easy to do in the middle of Christmas. You know what I mean? And it's, you know, I remind myself that, you know, that it's those moments that I love the most. You know what I mean?
Right.
And we love to investigate. We love these locations. We love doing it, but what makes it even that much more an extra special is when we know that we're doing it for a reason.
Right.
You know, it's not just personal gain. It's not just,
gain. It's not selfishness.
Here's 20 more people I met and they know that this is who we are. It's not that. It's helping the community as a whole.
Yes.
Right.
And it that's key. And it's, you know, we're not better than anyone else. It's just what we do. And if more people do what they can do, it's just going to help dramatically and drastically, you know, and bring people together. That's the whole key.
That's the key. Yeah.
You know, it's not what can I do? Like I say, you know, over and over, what can I do? Who can I step on to get to where I want to go? No. How many people can we bring and how many families can we touch and help on our path to going where we're going with more people.
Yep, exactly. You know, I have to agree with you on that.
And I mean, just like you survived cancer. You know what it is to not give up. You know what it is to just move forward. Never look back. You know, and this is what we kind of try to instill to these kids.
You know, it's a rough road, and you know, I'm lucky. I got lucky, you know, and I can just imagine
what those
kids have to go through. I mean, if they had to go through anything, especially during the time that I had it, because at the time that I had it, the treatments were nothing like they are today. You know, you're talking back in 1994, 95, the treatments were much different then, you know, and the actual treatment that saved my life was pretty much brand new and was discovered at St. Jude's.
Right.
And Research Hospital.
St. Jude's is, if you can, no matter who's listening, if you're going to give anything, that's a key that I would give to them before any other of a bunch of other organizations.
Yep.
I am the same way with that one.
They are the best, and I say that from personal experience. My brother had a fire, and my niece was burned over 80% of her body.
Oh, good Lord.
And this was going back years. She's like 30 now, I think. This happened when she was like 11, and they've never asked for a dime. But they've always set up the appointments. They've always followed through and helped them without spending one dime.
Yeah, and they share their research.
Everything. And it's like...
They share their research. If their doctors and scientists make any kind of discovery, it gets shared. It doesn't get exploited to make the biggest amount of money that they possibly can. They share it.
What kind of medication can we make and make, you know, huge profits on, and we can corner the market on it? No, this is for everyone.
Yeah, exactly. So
I got to give them a shout out. My whole life we've dealt with them because of my brother and my niece, and they never not try to get out of it. They never try not to get out of a skin graft. They never try not, you know what I mean? It's always, we're ready, we're ready, we're ready, because that's what they do, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, I just have to put a shout out to them that you name them. It's just, if anyone wants to give something, that's where you go to give.
I mean,
I agree.
I had a problem, you know, I had to go out a lot, get out after what I went through. So I go for walks, and I happened to be at the mall one day when they were raising money for St. Jude's, you know. Right there, they had this great big, like, weekend long telethon type deal,
right?
With a silent auction and all this stuff. And yeah, I was talking to the DJ because she was having a hard time getting through, and I don't blame her because I was having a hard time sitting there listening to it. When you hear these kids and they lose their childhood because they're stuck in a chair, or they can't go out because of the catheter that's in their chest, or you know, all those different reasons. And, you know, yeah, you're going to lose it a little bit. You know, otherwise, you're not human.
Exactly.
And so I told her my story, and I said, you know, kids are more resilient than me. And I got this when I was like 29. I wasn't supposed to make it past Christmas that year.
Right.
You know, and it helped her because, you know, she thought of that, and it's like, well, if he can get through it, they can.
Exactly. And it's all, you know, lifting everyone up around you and just keeping things positive. And like I say, the never give up attitude, you just have to keep moving forward, no matter your situation, and know you're not alone.
Yeah. So I kept going back every year. They had that telethon. So even though I was better, you know, much better than I was, because I was down there trying to get some exercise and get away from my mother because, you know, how mothers can be, you know, they're treating you like, oh, you shouldn't be doing that. You can't be doing this, you know, real coddling you know, even though you're an adult, but see, you just almost died on it. Yeah. You know? So I kept going back down there. So no matter what I was doing, I was always there at that mall for that DJ, so that she had somebody to like focus on, so she didn't lose it on the air again.
Right. I mean, and we just need to all be there for each other. Just that's how it works. It's not screaming, hollering, and stealing people's ideas. It's, hey, how can we make this idea better working with these people, moving forward? I mean, that's the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. We've worked with other teams. We've gone out with Dale.
And the little bit that each of us can do, it doesn't seem like a lot, but it adds up when a lot we get more people to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So...
learn from everybody that
you let me ask you this. Yeah, Ed, let me ask you this. Would you rather have $1 million handed to you right this minute, or would you rather have a penny doubled every single day for the rest of your life?
Who, me?
Yeah.
A penny that day. You
think about that.
I would take a penny doubled every day. However, I would take the second part of that double and I would give it to someone else that needs it.
That's kind of the point that I was going after.
Exactly.
You know, because one person, you know, one rich person can give you $1 million, but millions of poor people can give you a penny, and that would turn into $1 million.
Right.
You know, and those pennies will build up.
Definitely. So,
you know, that's...
You never know, you might
get
that. That's
kind of where I'm going with that, that doing something like that, it makes more sense to gather it like that and donate it rather than try to get it all at once.
You never know, you might run across that one penny that's worth $1 million.
You never know, but that's like more sense, no pun intended, get it?
Uh-huh. Yeah, definitely.
But no, you know, it's just... You know, there's so much negativity in the world today that I think if more people just, you know, thought positive, then it would turn it around. It just would.
I think it possibly could. But.
Excuse me, but I think that's where they should make pot legal and then turn around and make it mandatory for everybody to smoke a joint a day. Then I think more people would get along in this world.
Probably a whole lot of truth to that.
And then after that, it may wind up finally having world peace.
But no, I mean, you just got to love what you're doing. And in this field, you know, it's got to be a passion. It can't just be to do it to be famous or whatever. And, you know, even a lot of these people on the shows will tell you, I was at the right place at the right time. I'm no one special.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just happened to be there. They chose me. That's that.
That was pretty much Ken's story. He was at the right place at the right time.
And they just don't let it get to their head, and you know, they continue to do what
This guy was pretty humble. You know.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just
famous.
You know, we're blessed. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say with the holiday and everything, you guys going to be going strong or taking a break? Or
so I have a rule where
I don't like your rule,
and Chris hates my rule. But you know, we've grown so fast that we've been doing sometimes two events a month, and we also have full time jobs. And we have a daughter and we, you know, we have animals and a whole life. So, my rule is between Thanksgiving and New Year's day that we don't do any events.
No,
now
I
broke that rule this year, and we did a December 3rd event at our haunted jail just last weekend. And it was extremely successful, but no, we don't do any events. We are like completely packed for the entire spring. We've got events all through the spring. Wow. We have events booked all the way through to November of next year.
Oh, wow.
So
my calendar. I have no clue.
We're at a point.
Whatever she says,
we're at a point that I have to be very strategic about my the events that we put on, because we're running out of dates to do them. And that's, you know, so yeah, so I take this time, so we're having nice holiday time. Chris hates it. He hates it.
I don't like breaks.
But if you would look around our house, we have Christmas everywhere. I think he puts all of the paranormal.
Wait a minute. You got how many trees, guys?
Okay,
so I just seen two.
Okay, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh my God.
And then one in the bedroom too. But...
And then we have whole Christmas village. I think that Chris put all of his paranormal energy into the. And
no, I didn't.
What do you mean?
We could go investigate tomorrow. She's the boss, guys.
That is
so. Are you guys planning? Are you guys planning on going anywhere out of state, or is all your events in state?
All of our events are in state. For right now, we are working on getting back to Tennessee. We are working on out of state ones, but honestly, we're so busy with the in state. So yeah, it's all in Florida right now. Okay. So.
I can always use you guys as an excuse to come see my niece and nephew.
You can.
We got all kinds of locations.
Yeah, we've got locations all the way up in Jasper and all the way down south. Is, you know, like further south than Sarasota.
I want to go to Mod Barker House if I go to Florida.
The which house?
Mod Barker House.
I don't think we know that one. Do you know that one, honey?
No.
That's for a famous gun shootout. My Barker and her gang.
Oh, no, we didn't.
Dillinger was involved. It was back in Prohibition.
Oh.
Huh.
The house was recently moved with the bullet holes.
Are you and sure it's and Florida?
An attack.
I've never heard of that house.
That's Florida.
But we have a place where that has Dr. bullet Christy holes
Dr. Christy Sumner's from.
We have access to it. But anyway... There's just all kinds of stuff. But you guys are welcome anytime. Just let us know.
Oh, definitely. I think it'd be fun.
We have a list.
I'd have a blast.
Yeah, we have a list of locations. We have some more in the works. We just picked up an awesome haunted object. That came from one of the most haunted locations, top 10 haunted locations in the U.S. So.
Have you found any responses or anything, like vibes or anything off of it?
Actually, when we were investigating the location, we actually physically seen, it's a doll, and she physically changed her whole expression. And investigations prior to that, without us there, they're the ones that picked up on it and caught evidence of her physically moving and getting responses from it. However, she wasn't doing too well with all the male spirits, from what I understand. And she just needed a nice home. And we worked it out that now we have her. And we actually have... We have her with a haunted Care Bear that we have. And they're going to be all put together with the divot box that we have. So
cool.
We're going to have, and we stage it, you know, every couple months. I make sure it's staged and everything's good. It's a beautiful home for her.
Not with my luck. I wouldn't want anything like that.
Hey, I've said this out loud before. I would be willing to give the Annabelle doll a hug. I really think she needs one.
Aww.
But yes, this doll, her name's Belle or Bella, and she came from the Maystringer house.
Interesting.
Is there, He goes to far our school and he provokes the spirits. And then he wonders why he can't get into his laptop after umpteen tries. But then when he gets home, first try, the laptop unlocks for him.
Well, because you done upset someone.
I did.
Yeah, you I done did it that day.
We went to Friar School after the Buddy Holly site, and I had 5 pieces of equipment subsequently fail on me.
Well, you need to learn to not provoke, and you need to learn to just try to soak in what they have to tell you and
yep them. But my provoking actually got them moving for everybody else.
Well, that's good. But then what happened to you the next day? You couldn't use your computer.
Well, I still think the most interesting part of that whole day is that, well, I got sick right when I walked into that school. I started feeling sick. I had to go back outside for a bit. But when we were at the crash site, and we didn't find out this out until what, quite a bit later, we were asked to review our footage.
It was later, and I was to my audio that I caught.
Yeah. It was like a phantom plane sound, because I don't recall hearing that. Neither did Dale or anybody else that was with us recall hearing a plane or seeing one go overhead while we were out there in the cornfield. Yeah.
There were 6 of us out there doing the investigation. I had 2 voice recorders going. The one my girlfriend was holding, I don't think she knew what she was doing with it because it didn't record properly. The one I was holding, I got plenty of audio on it. And upon reviewing that audio, because it was a little while after we got back and everything. But upon reviewing that audio, I discovered something that sounded like a single engine prop plane flying over. But not one of us even remembers hearing it.
Or seeing one.
So, well, and I don't remember hearing it on any other audio device that we had there either.
Well, that's very interesting. I would look into the time frame, see, you know, and just.
The time of day was nowhere near the time frame that the plane actually crashed.
And we weren't there in February. It'd be too cold.
Right. I get it.
For me, it'd be too cold.
No, he'd be a walking icicle at that point, so.
You know, after what I went through with the leukemia and stuff, I missed 3 winters, so I pretty much lost my tolerance for winter, so I hibernate in winter.
Got
that's it. Why
but then you could also try to find someone else that's been there at the same time and just to see if it's like a residual sound. You never know.
Right. Something to do some research and look into. You know, but it was a very interesting place. All those. They had this memorial right at the entrance to the path that goes down to where they got the crash happened and bodies were found. And it's a big pair of Buddy Holly glasses, you know, people autographed it and bought sunglasses and prescription glasses and all kinds of glasses all over the thing. Yeah, it was just
left
unbelievable.
A bunch of offerings.
Yeah. It was a lot different than I was expecting. It really was, you know.
Well,
and
that's cool. You
I
got to experience it. That would be awesome for us too.
Well, I'm a big music fan.
Catch up with us if you want to come up, and we can take you out there.
I'm a big music fan, and being a big music fan, you know, that just going out there just for that reason, because I'm a big music fan, was enough for me, even if we didn't get nothing. But we did.
Right.
We had a little bit of stuff happening. But it was unbelievable, the stuff that people left at the memorial. They got these metal engraved kind of tombstone looking things there, and people have left all kinds of like offerings there.
Right.
Whatever. You know, and it's not just flowers. I mean, you're talking big lighters or, you know, whatever. Or there was a record, I think. There was even a 45 of like La Bamba sitting there, you know. It was pretty, a lot different than what I was expecting, you know.
Right. Well, I mean, it's cool. I'm glad you got to experience that. That would be neat. Maybe someday, huh, hon?
Mm-hmm. Well, the other place I want to go to, the other place I'm going to go to and hoping to this year is up the Plainsfield. Ed Gein. Property.
The what? You cut out on me.
Ed Gein's property.
Oh, okay.
That place is told to have a lot of activity, even though the house is gone. They burnt it down shortly. What was it? Shortly after he was convicted?
I figure one of the other locations would be Never Never Land.
Yeah. That'd be cool too.
Apparently someone purchased it now.
Really?
That's what I saw online. I was just looking at it to see, because they were asking ungodly amounts for it, and then apparently someone bought it for like dirt cheap.
Well, the pictures I saw, it looked like it was pretty run down. You know, pictures of it, like somebody broke in and took pictures of it, and it was like graffiti everywhere. And
yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember what the years were, the photos that I were looking at and stuff. But
they have a lot of work ahead of them.
What they're doing with it? Yeah.
I go to Tennessee. I've got Graceland on my list there.
Yeah, for sure. No,
I've never been there. I had a chance once, but never had. You know, never got it.
Well, there's still time. Set up a list and you got it.
Oh, yeah.
Your bucket list.
I've got a big one that keeps growing now that I'm doing this paranormal stuff. It's unbelievable how fast that bucket list can grow.
Yep.
That's without leaving the States.
Heck, my bucket list grows every day when I find out about a new location I've never known. So.
Yeah. Every time I watch something or see a documentary on a new location, I'm like, I want to check that out. That ain't too far away. Or shit, we can go there in a weekend.
Yeah, you just set up the list and hope you can find time to do it all.
I still want to go over to Michigan and catch up with the ladies over there.
Yeah, I want to go over to Michigan too.
Phenomena.
I want to visit a couple of their shops over there.
And they've got they're doing the Eloise Sanatorium.
Oh yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be cool.
Any jails or sanatoriums or hospitals, I'm game for. I love
that. Well, in Tennessee, there's the Scott County Jail in Tennessee. Got to go there, too.
Yeah, I got to look that one up. I don't recall ever looking at that.
That's another one of those that got
saved. Young and Dr. Christy Sumner. Bought the Scott County Jail, and they've got it set up now as a investigation site for people to come in.
And a museum.
Yeah, and a museum.
I need to look into that one for sure.
It was almost ready to be torn down, and they say
so. That's another landmark that Dr. Sumner was involved in saving.
Cool. That's awesome.
So,
the more we can save, the better for the world, in my opinion.
I agree.
Yeah, they're all for that kind of stuff.
And I know that we're running over, but I'm starting to feel the effects of the week.
Well, when we talk, we can do this for weeks. That's just how we seem to do it. You can make like
15
episodes.
So after the new year, you guys got everything booked up until November, huh?
Well,
That's
Can you stop randomly shoving this camera in my face? He gives me no warning. He just like shoves it in my face. It's ridiculous. No, we have a sold out event at the SS Victory ship. It's a warship here in Tampa. Was actually a naval ship. That one is in the beginning of January. That's completely sold out. Our January 29th Hacienda event is completely sold out. I am just getting ready to post for a February Hacienda event. And I have a feeling those tickets will go extremely fast. We also have a February May Stringer event coming up when those tickets will go very fast. So, but I have to stagger them because we do so many over the year that I don't like to put all of them for sale throughout the year at once. Cause people's lives change and everything. Yeah. So, but we do have events that I have already set up and lined up all the way up to the end of November. When we go on our break.
What break? We do not have breaks. This is the paranormal does not break for no one.
No, but here's another thing, and this is the truth, okay? Because of my fiance's schedule, his schedule changes every week, and it's not like he doesn't work Monday through Friday and has the weekends off, right? So the problem is he'll take time off or rearrange his schedule so he can do these paranormal events. And what ends up happening is I have to go, hey, we need to take vacations as a couple. Hey, we need to take time off as a couple, right? But I lose.
No, I try to say, let's go to this haunted location. You go, no, not with the paranormal, just us.
Yeah, exactly. No. And also, I'm a big Disney person. And so we're going away to Disney World at the end of this month. So I have to squeeze those in. I have to. Otherwise,
there's
we don't get any
haunted in Disney. I know. I'm going to find it.
We don't get any vacations. We just do paranormal stuff. So
I like
it's not a bad thing.
I bet there is something haunted at Disney because look at the land it's on.
Oh yeah, I know.
Yeah, I bet you there is. Well, he'll probably bring some equipment or something. I don't know.
I will. Okay, good idea.
Put a voice recorder in your pocket and carry the video camera around.
What do you mean? I have my phone. That's all you need.
And act like you're videotaping your vacation there.
Yeah, I'll be like, Mickey Mouse, are you here?
No, Walt Disney. Mickey Mouse is still alive.
Well, okay.
Walt Disney.
Hey, Walt, where are you? When did you put this brick in the ground?
Epcot Center.
But yeah, we have a lot coming up in the spring.
I agree. It's nice to get away every once in a while and do nothing. Not.
We have to. No. We have to. But
no.
But it's been a pleasure talking to you guys. And I
appreciate.
Yes, definitely. Sorry I was late again.
Yeah.
It's no biggie, man. We all have to work.
Yeah, it's been a crazy. It's just.
I don't work.
It's a busy time.
Yeah. But the holidays around the corner. You guys enjoy the holidays for sure.
You as well. Have a good Christmas and a happy new year.
And also, I guess I should say that our events are on our Facebook page. So the flghosts.com is more informational if you want to like learn about us and see what we do. But if you want to see our events or you want to be in the know of our upcoming events, the only way to do that is to be on our Facebook page. We just hit 4,700 followers. So
awesome.
we're pretty proud of that. We're going to do something special for the 5,000.
I don't know what yet.
but yeah, so the events are only on the Facebook page. So please follow us if you're interested.
And everything we do is on there, so you pretty much are in our back pockets knowing what we're doing. So
yeah.
Cool.
And again, I want to thank you guys too.
Thank you for having us on and and for remembering us. And yeah, we're just we're
really no problem.
I can't forget you guys. You know,
yeah, we're looking forward to a great 2023.
We're gonna be busy.
Because of what you guys do, I don't forget that, you know, because I walked, you know, I did a lot of that. I walked in some of those kids' shoes. I went through some of that shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I know what it's like. It's not easy.
No, it's not easy. And to be a survivor is even slimmer chances. But nowadays, it the numbers have gone up, you know.
Well, that's because the research, you know.
Exactly.
The research has gotten the treatments to be better.
I mean, I know people that have gotten the same type of leukemia that I had, you know, now, you know, and I got it in 94, 95, and here they are getting it in like 2020 or 2019 or whatever, and they're getting less sex because they're taking the chemo by, it's either targeted or pill form now instead of through all IV drugs.
Right, and the chemo's not as hard on the body. And
right.
There's a lot less side effects from it.
You know, when I had, there was a drug they gave me through the IV 2 to 3 times a day that I don't remember the name of it. It was a golden color IV drug, and I called it the killer drug because they'd have to come in and shoot me with Demerol and Bisturil before, halfway through, and just before it was done. Otherwise, I ended up in these really bad tremors.
Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But the research itself has made it much easier. Now it's like, oh, just pop this pill.
Well, yeah.
Quite that easy.
I know, but I'm just saying it's much easier than what it used to be.
You know, and some of them don't have to go through the total body eradication anymore.
Right.
Either, you know, where they sit you in a room in your underwear and they flood it, you know, flood it full of radiation. And then they do this to you, you know, so many times a week, to the point where you're peeling skin off your body like a glove or like a snake, you know.
Now it's cool with the new technology. It's you know, it's like directional to the exact area. So
yeah, they can target it more.
Yeah.
Targeted proton therapy.
Yep. But yes, definitely, guys. Thank you again. And any way we can help or anything we can post to help you guys, whatever you're doing, let us know.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on. Glad I got to talk to you guys again. And keep
you
up the
too.
Good work.
Well, yeah. We're going
to talk. And actually, if there is anything you guys need us to help you with, let us know if we can help you.
For sure. We will. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you guys so much.
Yeah,
you guys
we'll
have a happy holidays as well, please.
Yes, you too. Have a happy and safe New Year.
Be safe. Very safe New Year.
Thank you.
Yeah. Bye, guys.
All right. Bye.